Okay, good. First of all, it's a pleasure and privilege to be here. How many of you remember that I was here several years ago? How many of you were part of the class? Okay, good. I had a misconception about Harvester's class. I thought that Harvester's class was for senior citizens like myself, because I'm in my 70th year, but I'm looking out over here and I'm seeing a lot of young people. And I happen to know that I have a daughter who has a hair salon, trained cosmetologist. No, this is my hair. It's not dyed. But it's very popular nowadays for young people to have their hair lightened to gray or silver. Now, I'm sure a lot of you have been to the salon and had that done. So anyway, but it is a privilege to be here, and I probably will talk a little bit fast because I've got a lot of material to cover. But I wanted to say, first of all, that it's really important that if anyone here has abortion in your past, either yourself or one of your loved ones or so forth, it's really important that you or your loved one have been healed from that. And I think that the long-term consequences of that for those who have not seen the love and salvation and forgiveness of Christ are intensive. And so we at Georgia Right to Life recognize that, and we have resources at the office that you can access. My cards are back on the table. Be glad to get that material to you. So what I wanted to do today is give you a kind of a short overview of our mission. And the greatest number of humans killed in the United States and actually in the world is by abortion. Now, in the United States, it's almost 1 million per year. And as most of you probably know, Planned Parenthood is the greatest purveyor of abortions in the United States, and it's government-funded, which is a grievous thing, I'm sure, to all of us. And all innocent life is under threat. Certainly, the preborn is the greatest and obvious legalized threat that we're aware of in this nation. But we deal with the preborn to the disabled, to elder citizens whose lives are being threatened. Whether they're incapacitated by illness or circumstances, our right to life is being compromised in this nation. I'm just going to briefly say that I brought and there's a few of these on the table, and these are sheets on medical advance directives, because I'm getting older, and as I like to say, none of us are getting out of here alive. These are life-affirming principles for medical decisions that have been provided to us by an organization called HALO, and there are some papers back there in case you all are interested in that. It is extremely important, and though I can't go into the details on that now. So let's begin. This year we've celebrated 50 years, having been founded in 1971, of advocating for the protection and defense of human life from its earliest biological beginnings to natural death. We have a central office here in the North Atlanta area, but we also have 22 active chapters throughout the state of Georgia. So we've spread over many years, have a lot of co-partners. We are the state affiliate of a Personhood Alliance, a national organization. I don't think that it's showing my whole screen there, so it's a good thing I'm here talking, which was founded in 2014 by Georgia Right to Life, and 24 states are currently affiliates of Personhood Alliance, upholding the biblical personhood principle and fighting for the right to have rights. And so our mission is to save lives, and it is based on the Genesis 1:27 scripture and other scriptures that say, where God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness," which is the Imago Dei, the image of God. And so respect and effective legal protection for all human life from its earliest biological beginnings through natural death is what we call the sanctity and dignity of life and the personhood principle. Now, I want to quote, read this quote by Tertullian, who was an early church father. How many of you have heard the name Tertullian? Boy, see, this is probably because John was your teacher for so long. but let me just mention that he's been called the father of Latin Christianity and the founder of Western theology. And he originated new theological concepts and advanced the development of early church doctrine. And he's most famous for being the first writer in Latin known to use the term Trinity. Now, I'm just quoting one of the church fathers, but throughout the history of the church, there are just lots and lots and lots, from the Didache to modern times, of course, that have made it very clear that human life is to be protected. You can't see the whole thing, I guess, but the quote is, "Our faith declares life out of death. Therefore, murder is forbidden once and for all. We may not destroy even the fetus in the womb. To hinder a birth is merely a speedier man-killing. Thus, it does not matter whether you take away a life that is born or destroy one that is coming to the birth. In both cases, destruction is murder." We have lots of scriptures. I'm going to just quickly quote a few. Isaiah 44:2, where God says he formed Isaiah in the womb. Isaiah was Isaiah in the womb. Jeremiah 1:5, God tells Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." How about that? Before. Psalm 51:5, David says he was a sinner from the time his mother conceived him. Job 10:8-12, that's not the whole thing, but it describes the way God created Job before he was born in detail. And Dr. Luke says John the Baptist was ending his second trimester in Elizabeth's womb when he leaped for joy at Mary's greeting. Even the angel Gabriel told Mary that she would be with child and give birth to a son. And one of my favorite passages that has motivated me through the years, Proverbs 24:10-12. "Deliver those who are drawn towards death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, 'Surely we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds?" In 1973, the infamous Roe versus Wade decision basically nullified all state laws in the United States having to do with the protection of preborn human life in the womb. And this is a picture of Harry Blackmun, who was the author of that decision, who wrote that, quote, "If the suggestion of personhood of the preborn is established, the abortion rights case, of course, collapses. For the fetus' right to life is then guaranteed specifically by the 14th Amendment." So the personhood of the preborn child is the single point on which the entire debate and this ruling was founded. We don't know if this is a person or not, is what the ruling basically said. So we're going to nullify those laws and afford no protection. So I like to challenge people by saying, why should you get involved or be concerned about this issue? And another couple of my favorite verses, Psalm 11:3, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" It's pretty foundational that if you don't have the right to live at any stage and it's taken away from you, this is destruction of the foundations. Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." Now, I know that I'm speaking to a crowd of people who have been very highly instructed and educated. So a lot of this you may already know, but I'm just kind of bringing some new perspectives, I hope, this morning. So what is personhood? Personhood, a person is someone who is to be protected by a series of God-given rights and constitutional guarantees, such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, see, I'm behind myself here, aren't I? Okay. Here we go. So, Georgia Right to Life's educational strategy is to change hearts and minds through outreach. We have something that we call the REACH Project, a media and public relations campaign reaching women in crisis and educating the public on the life issues. We do that through billboards, college campus, and other venue outreach events, public speaking, radio public service announcements. And we're going to play one of those in just a moment. In fact, are those queued up at this point? Anybody in the back there? If not, we can play it in a little bit. But here's what the PSAs do. They're one-minute educational spots. They're aired Monday through Friday on 22, actually more than 22 Christian stations, currently in portions of four states. They are run free to us. We simply provide the spots, and they run them on a daily basis. We just produced 15 new radio spots, and they're played at the same time daily. Right now, the Gospel News Network, Good News Network, which you can find on your phones or your laptops, play them starting around 3:30 p.m. daily. So here's a couple of examples if we've
Are
got
you pro-life
them.
Pro-life or just pro-birth? This is the question often asked to insinuate that pro-life advocates do not really care about all people, just babies.
Is that loud enough?
To other issues such as socialized medicine and tax dollar funded welfare, which pro-life advocates often oppose as somehow revealing an inconsistency in our compassion. This reveals their misunderstanding of our position. Pro-life advocates do not believe more government involvement will fix every moral and societal problem. Rather, we maintain that it is wrong to intentionally kill innocent human beings. An abortion intentionally kills an innocent human being. Therefore, abortion is wrong. We should not conflate charity with justice. God gave government the responsibility to do justice and commands citizens to do charity. We as citizens should hold government accountable to do justice and recognize personhood, the paramount right to life.
For more information, visit GeorgiaRightToLife at grtl.org.
Okay, how many of you heard enough of that you got the gist of it? Because I want to make sure you did. Okay, we have another one that's called bodily autonomy, which means my body, my choice.
Does bodily autonomy trump the right to life? Abortion advocates often defend abortion with a woman's right to bodily autonomy. Women certainly have the right to control their bodies, but the baby inside also has a right to life. What do we do when the rights of two people conflict with each other? Well, citizens have the right to smoke, even when it could potentially harm themselves, but not on the private property of another person. We have numerous laws that restrict the right to smoke in situations when the secondhand smoke might harm other people. We also have laws against driving when a person is drunk, because at that time, the exercise of that person's choice to drive could cause harm or death to another person. The right to life historically has taken precedent over another person's exercise of liberty because the right to life is more fundamental. Human life should always be protected and treated as sacred. This is why it is important to advance personhood, the paramount right to life.
For more information, visit GeorgiaRightToLife at grtl.org.
That's just a one-minute spot. That's a lot of information in it, but it's played over and over again. We've got 15, though. They rotate. So these are going out, and sometimes we get them onto secular stations as well, but it's great to have them out there because of the large number of women having abortions who are church-associated. So we're excited about those. We also post billboards at various and sundry times. This was a billboard we had in the past year, posted at 10 locations in Atlanta and the inner city areas. The sad reality is that as much as 62% of abortions in 2019, were performed on black women in Georgia that constitute 30% of the state's population. Now, there were thousands of women who were not black women who had abortions, but it certainly is kind of a concentrated effort for us to reach those women as well. It's not the only way that we're reaching, though. Here's another board that we ran not too long ago in North Atlanta. And, of course, hundreds of thousands of people driving by these boards will see them. And we use that verse from Jeremiah 1:5, as you see. And the optionline.org is where whoever's considering an abortion or needs help or whatever can receive it and get information so that they don't have to make that choice, which is a very severe one, both not only for the child but for the woman. Now, the other thing that I wanted to share with you that I think is really exciting, and of course we need prayer that the people we're reaching will be impacted, and we know that many are. And we know that people have changed their minds. Young women and girls have changed their minds. So we're running ads on Facebook every month. And those ads lead to a special website called Teen Breaks, like teenager, teenbreaks.com. And those ads attract thousands. Here's one of the ads that we have run in the past. And you might not be able to read the small. It says, girls talk about why they chose abortion, what it was like, and how they feel now. Teen abortion stories. A young woman or a girl who's facing that decision sees this in their Facebook feed. This is a reason why we get thousands of people that click on that and go to the Teen Breaks. If you want to see what's on there, it's a fabulous site. Here's another one. Teen Breaks provides information on early pregnancy symptoms and connection for a free pregnancy test. How many of you are aware of the fact that Google and Facebook and Twitter are extremely difficult sometimes to deal with and censor conservative and Christian information? They do. Thankfully, we have the person that manages this, not part of our organization, but a person that manages these ads knows pretty much how to get around the censors. Here's another one. The abortion pill, what it is and how it works to terminate a pregnancy. These are reaching people who are in these kinds of circumstances. And by the way, I will say, when I'm quoted the 62% and somewhere around 27,000 abortions in Georgia that were recorded in 2019, that doesn't include medical abortions, which are as high as 40% or more. And now they're shipping pills to people. How many of you saw the movie Unplanned? Anybody here? Unplanned? As you know, it's rather brutal to do to an unborn child and a woman to go through that. Here's another one of the Teen Breaks ads. What are botched abortions and how do they happen? Botched abortions. Okay. That'll grab somebody's attention. Some of the other things we do, I'm just going to whip through these very quickly. We have an annual oratory and video contest for young people to encourage them to come along and understand and articulate what they believe. This is a homeschool expo that we've done a great number of these, where thousands of people come through and get literature and can talk and so forth. The Georgia March for Life is an annual event right by the Capitol in Liberty Plaza down in Atlanta. And thousands of people gather there. This year, it's this month. It is Friday, January 21st. It's 11:45 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Liberty Plaza. We'll have speakers. We'll have a memorial for those that are lost, and there will be prayers, silent, prayerful walk that concludes that. And there's information on grtl.org if you'd like to participate. We also do radio interviews on the topic. This happens to be a secular radio station with a friend there. And Pillars of Personhood, I'm sorry you can't see the top, but Pillars of Personhood is a training that we've done all over the state with groups of people, volunteers, to help instruct them as to how to articulate their pro-life values. Now, we may have a very strong pro-life value, but not be able to articulate it or answer questions to those who come up with lots of objections. And believe me, there's some very articulate opponents that want to tell you why it's none of your business if a woman wants to have an abortion. The preborn is not the mother's body, as we just heard on that spot. But the preborn can be of a different gender than the mother. The preborn develops a separate brain and central nervous system. The preborn can have a different blood type. The preborn has her own unique DNA fingerprints. I was born in 1952, July 6th. Yes, you can send me a card. How many of you were born in the 50s? Anybody here? Okay. I just saw yesterday a video of a study that was done in 1952. I was, you know, barely out of the womb, where it has live pictures of a preborn child swimming around in amniotic fluid, and they're putting a little gentle probe and the child reacting to it and pulling away and even grasping the instrument. And I'm thinking, have we not known this? You know, it reminds me of that verse. Do we not know this? It's just incredible. So all of this obfuscation and deception and lies about what the human unborn or preborn child, is are just that. So let me go on here. This is an outreach. That happens to be one of my 11 children there on the right at Kennesaw State University, where hundreds of students will come by, and we've got a literature table and a display, a four-sided display that has all kinds of challenging information. And information, by the way, that the public education system is not giving to students. This was a Planned Parenthood protest in Lawrenceville. These go on a regular basis. 40 Days for Life. We didn't start Georgia 40 Days for Life, but we participate and promote these vigils in front of the abortion businesses. Okay, one of the greatest objections that people will say, and I admit I was there too for many years, and that is that rape and incest are reasons why a woman should have a legal right to have an abortion. And in many of our state laws, those are, the states that have restrictions or trying to bring restrictions have these exceptions. We at Georgia Right to Life oppose abortion for pregnancy resulting from rape or incest, whereas we understand the trauma involved in such situations. The unborn child conceived is no less human, created in God's image, if I might say, than one conceived under more favorable conditions. You know, a victim of rape should be treated with the utmost respect, care, and compassion. The perpetrator of the rape should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. How many of you are aware of the fact that rape used to be a capital crime? Used to be. It's not anymore because the Supreme Court has said, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the Supreme Court has said that it's no longer a capital crime. The majority, and by the way, the majority of women pregnant through rape do not choose to have an abortion. That was another misconception on my part. 69% choose to have the child. 80% of those choosing abortion have regrets. That some of those regrets are very serious. The Supreme Court has ruled that capital punishment for the rapist is cruel and unusual. How much more is this true for the baby? Some have said it's wrong to require a woman to carry the rapist's baby, but you have to remember that the baby is as much the mother's as it is the father's, albeit it's a terrible, terrible crime. It makes me angry when I think of this happening. It's not the majority of women who are violated in this way that become pregnant, but it's a significant, any is a significant amount. And we grieve for the women and also want to protect those children. So Deuteronomy 24:16 serves as at least one of the biblical bases for the protection of a child conceived in rape or incest, where it says, "Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their father's sin. A person shall be put to death for his own sin." Now, is rape a sin? Yes. You can put to death a child for the father's sin? We clearly, that's not right. Incest, again, rape and incest. Being pro-life with exceptions is like being in favor of marriage fidelity with exceptions. So which one of these is not protected by law? A sea turtle, bald eagle, human being. The human being's not protected by law. And you can't see it, but You can get $100,000 and a one-year prison sentence if you disturb the nesting or kill a sea turtle. You can get $250,000 and 2 years in prison for destroying a bald eagle's nest or whatever. Here's the other ironic thing, folks. You can go to jail and be fined for destroying the embryo, the egg, because it's recognized as being the same as destroying the fully hatched and walking around or flying around creature. But our society doesn't recognize the full humanity of an unborn child. So it's an ironic, terrible thing, but there it is. You get 0 years for destroying an unborn child. Thankfully, and I'm not going to talk a lot about it because of time here, because I want to leave a little bit of time for some questions, but Georgia Right to Life has been involved with a lot of legislative activity through the years. And one of those bills was the Unborn Victim of Violence Act. So what that means is a woman is assaulted either by an automobile accident or someone directly assaulting, and we know this happens, where she is injured or killed and her preborn child is injured or killed. Okay? If you went to Colorado, it wouldn't matter because they do not consider a preborn child to be a human being, even at 8 and 9 months. And that's true, I think, in New York State as well. But in Georgia, through our advocacy and our working with our legislative partners, we passed that law. What that means is, let's just say that a woman is in an automobile accident and it kills the child. Perhaps she survives. This is an example. The person in the other vehicle, if they're shown to be negligent, can be prosecuted for either negligent homicide or manslaughter or one of those things. But only if she wanted to keep the child. If she's heading across the street for the abortion clinic, guess what? No protection. So there's another crazy reality. So how many of us have grandchildren? Okay, I got grandchildren, little ones. So you know, aren't they sweet? Are they sweet? Especially when they're sleeping. Don't we love sleeping babies? But this is a 25-year-old baby that was on the front of World Magazine a few years ago. And why? How do you have a 25-year-old baby? Because they were frozen in suspended animation 24 years before, and then they were implanted and came to fruition and so forth. We, America, compared to other Western countries that don't do this, we have at least a million frozen embryos that are human beings, that are most of which are never going to come to fruition. And when they thaw out, roughly half of them don't survive. And anyway, it's just an interesting thing that we're not in favor of either destroying or putting into suspended animation, as our former president, one former president pointed out. They're now working on to be able to do it for 200 years. So what can I do? What can we do? I think that we always have to pray that God will turn the hearts of people in our nation back to himself through the preaching of the true gospel and through our lives and through our example. You can volunteer at your local pregnancy center. Whispering Hope is in Forsyth County, very close to where I live, in fact, a mile from where I live. And Beacon of Hope is in Alpharetta. These people do need volunteers, and especially if Roe is overturned and the question goes back to every state, there will be a lot more women seeking help through pregnancy centers, and they're going to need more people. It's already happened in Texas. In Texas, I had a conversation with a former abortionist who is now pro-life, and she said, we have had a 50% increase in the number of women seeking to get help through pregnancy centers, and we need more funding. And that's because of the law there that the Supreme Court refused to strike down. So, all right, so vote for pro-life candidates and be very careful that they really are pro-life, because some of them say they are, but just to get elected. Inform others. I want to say that Jim and Karen Labar have done a wonderful job of informing people on different candidates through the years. And, thank you so much. Post pro-life things that you might find that are good on your blog, a blog or Facebook. Purchase a Choose Life tag, which is I'm going to hold it up anyway, but it is a mini billboard on the back of your car, as Karen likes to say, and everywhere you go, people will see this mini board. I have one on my car, ChooseLifeGeorgia.org, and in addition to that, a portion of the tag that is renewed every year gets distributed to pregnancy centers throughout the state of Georgia, and I think it's over $400,000, right, that has been since its inception. That was one of the bills that we worked on at Georgia Right to Life. And let me tell you, some of the states that try to get a Choose Life tag are still trying to do it after years and years and years. So thank God that we have that. Let me see here. A couple things I wanted to mention. And that is that I have a few of these on the back table, and these are DVDs of our last fundraising dinner that we had in September with former Representative Congressman Paul Brown as our main speaker, and it's got some great things on there. You're welcome to have one of those. and there are several other pieces that are available just to look at. We have a whole slew of information. If there's any particular aspect about human life that you're interested in, contact our office. Contact me. My card's back there. So I think that there's a couple of minutes, right? A few minutes for questions. Am I right? Okay. Is there a microphone somewhere? Oh, for a second, I thought he was passing the basket for us, which I wouldn't object to. But I'm just kidding. You got some great ministries. Yes. Yes, sir.
Obviously, the main focus has been on abortion over the years, but mm-hmm. I note your comments earlier this morning about those of us who are obviously getting older and the right-to-life decision issues as we age and so forth. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious what some of y'all's focus is in that area.
Well, we have one of our staff members has done a lot of research on this. and we've discovered that it's quite tricky in terms of the legal ramifications and trying to protect oneself from medical personnel. I don't want to put panic into people. I don't want people to feel like, you know, you can't go near a hospital or a doctor, but you have to be aware of the fact that in Georgia, for a very long period of time, the prerogative will fall to the medical establishment, and there are loopholes. I'm just going to allude to this, that you can say and sign things, I don't want this done, and so forth, but if you read the law concerning end-of-life issues and the statute and so forth, they still have the prerogative to unplug people when they don't want to be unplugged, and their family doesn't want to unplug them. And, you know, I'm sorry to say this, but it is, in fact, true, and so therefore, those sheets of paper back there would be very well. There's a phone number on the bottom of that page and a website, and those people have a lot of integrity of trying to protect human life. And the reality is that we assume that they're going to do one thing, and in fact, they may be doing the opposite. So that's all I want to say about that. But
so just as a quick follow-up on that point, we've all probably heard that in the COVID situation, that there are now some hospital staff people who are not providing the same level of care for those individuals who have not been vaccinated. So is that anything that y'all have looked into?
Well, we certainly have information on it, and we put out a monthly newsletter. in terms of whether we what I'm trying to say is, I think that there are things at the legislature, and Karen, you may want to speak to this if you know of anything, but this is where citizens need to say that these things are wrong. I think personally that Governor Kemp generally tends to be on the side of freedom with regard to these kinds of issues. And but I don't have anything really specific. If you would like to take my card and send me an email, I will look into that and be glad to answer you. There was a lady here that had something to say.
No. Steve, you mentioned...
Where are you? Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, Pat.
You mentioned the running the PRCs on Christian radio stations.
Yeah, the PSAs, right.
The PSAs. Has Public there been any... Items. It would seem like... The best use would be on secular stations. Is there a restriction because of them not letting you run them, or financial reasons, or why aren't we trying to reach the secular audience instead of running them on Christian stations?
Yeah, I would love to see those run on, you know, WSB radio and on WGKA 920 AM. It is financial. More than it is that they won't run those things. I know that Salem Broadcasting is the one Christian owned that owns 920 AM. I listen to it all the time. It's still, you know, even if it's conservatives, there's still a lot of people listening, you know, but it is financial. So if somebody wants to write a gigantic check and let us go out there but we have the chapters as well, and we're going to be distributing those PSAs to the chapters throughout the state of Georgia. Some radio stations are already carrying them, but I think that that's an excellent point. But it is financial. I mean, it's not cheap to advertise on secular radio, but we will be approaching some of those stations because we just, you know, somebody handed me a check for $10,000 yesterday and said, make sure that the word continues to get out. So I think that's, you know, praise the Lord for that. Somebody else. Yes, sir.
Just curious. I know several years ago there was a big push to get ultrasound machines into some of the pregnancy centers. Is that still something that's being done, and is that one of the ways?
Huh? Well, yeah, a lot of pregnancy centers have ultrasound machines, and I know that Focus on the Family still is behind that effort. And a lot of the pregnancy centers have become medical centers, like Whispering Hope is now coming women's center, and so is Beacon of Hope here. And ultrasound is just amazing simply because I think like either 80 or 88 88% of women who see an ultrasound who are thinking about abortion don't think about abortion after that because they see their child moving. And so reality, you know, seeing is believing, as they say sometimes. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Would you just clarify what you said about the frozen embryos? I want to make sure I didn't misunderstand that. I've had experience with a couple of couples who have adopted snow babies, and it has been a beautiful thing. And I want to make sure I understand what your stance is.
I agree. It is a beautiful thing. In fact, I know a couple that I believe goes to this church that has two, has adopted two. Yeah, they ought to all be adopted. The problem is that in reality, consigning them to frozen status means most of them are never going to come to term, and that's extremely problematic. They don't allow that in all of the European countries, and in fact, our abortion laws are so liberal, they're analogous to China, North Korea, Vietnam, and some other states like that as far as how long you can abort a child compared to European countries, like 27 European nations, you cannot have an abortion after 12 weeks. But back to the frozen embryo thing, you know, I think that, you know, my own personal opinion is that freezing embryos is almost as bad as donating them to science for experimentation or just discarding them. Although, at the same time, I acknowledge that those that will adopt snowflake babies are doing a wonderful thing, and I'm happy that that's happening. I mean, that's all that I can tell you at this point. I just think that treatment of human life should be at the highest level, And I think it really goes, I've got friends who've had in vitro fertilization, and they had three fertilized eggs, and they implanted all three of them rather than deciding we're going to, you know, discard these and use those. And they were willing to take the results. So anyway, I hope I answered your question. I think we're out of time here, right? One more question? Yes, ma'am.
Sure. It's not a question, but it's an FYI.
Yes, ma'am.
On the Fox News feed from yesterday, a wonderful article by a guy named Ryan Baumberger.
Oh, yeah. I know Ryan.
Yeah. He said, I was conceived in rape, but I was adopted in love. And he talks about how circumstances of our conception don't define the condition of our worth. So he
Amen
talks about being conceived in rape, but he is, you know, thankful
he
to the Lord.
He is awesome. We partnered with his Radiance Foundation a number of years ago and ran 85 billboards in Atlanta that had a beautiful picture of a young African-American boy and said, "In help me, what was, yeah, black children are an endangered species." That created a lot of controversy, but it honestly is true. Any child in the womb is an endangered species.
Yeah.
But listen, I saw that. I watched that. I know Ryan. I know Bethany. I gave them a copy of Dr. Denmark Said at the book for their children.
Yes. So that was a great article.
It was fantastic. Well, listen, thank you so much. Are we done?
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay. Oh, yes, go ahead.
I just have a question.
Closer.
Okay, I have a question. The information that you're giving out, you said homeschool groups and probably private schools to young girls about all this information. Has anybody been bold enough or brave enough to approach public schools and try to get this out?
Yes, I can't tell you who it is, but one of our chapter leaders is regularly going, just one that I know of right now, is regularly going into public schools and teaching human development, which obviously shows the humanity of a preborn child from the very beginning, and having great success with that. Because, frankly, if you don't know what you don't know, you know, it's easy to deny reality. So, yeah, we have some of that going on, and hopefully we can get more of that happening. Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah. Sally and I have been going to the Right to Life March for, I don't know, I can't count how many years, forever almost, but we are planning to be there 1 week from this Friday, January 21. So we'll leave our house about 9:30. If anybody wants to carpool or follow us down there, we really encourage you to attend. It's the least we can do to show support. And it's truly a wonderful event. Steve, thank you for being with us. God bless you and all your ministry with Georgia Right to Life. Let's give them a...
And you as well. Thank you. Appreciate all of you. I know, and I know a few of you, too. And I like you. So anyway, thank you so much.